Wangolo, a very powerful traditional Haitian folk song. This was performed live at a benefit concert in 2011, just after a catastrophic 7.0 magnitude earthquake hit the country of Haiti, killing between 220,000 and 316,000 people, and destroying more than 250,000 homes. The song is sung by Mike DeLuy, who's accompanied on guitar by Mike Lee. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. Just as you correctly predicted yesterday, the big debate was quite a yawn, but that doesn't mean there's nothing new to learn. So we continue our series about the Clintons. So let's start with a bit of context. And the context is this clip I'm going to play for you and share with you. It's an interview conducted by Luke Rudkowski of We Are Change, and it was done last month at a protest in Philadelphia. Here is Haitian American activist Joseph Mathieu explaining to Luke Rudkowski what the Haitian community's attitudes are toward the Clintons. What is the beef that they have with the Clintons? Here's what he said.
Haiti, I'm here joined by Joseph. Joseph, can you explain to us, why is the Haitian community mad at Hillary Clinton?
Well, we have every reason to be mad because the Clintons have destroyed Haiti for the decades. And, you know, they pretend to be our friends when in reality they are our number one enemies. You know, there are some other people who clearly behave like they don't like us. So it's easy for us to protect ourselves against them because we know they are our enemies. But the Clintons are even more dangerous because they pretend to be our friends when in reality they're destroying Haiti.
I heard that the Clinton Foundation and all these other organizations gave over $6 billion to Haiti for the relief effort, especially during the kind of natural disasters that you guys have gone through. Is that true?
No, it's more than true. The money is much more than $6 billion. You see, after the earthquake, countries around the world donate billions of dollars. The amount was much larger than $6 billion. And Bill Clinton was in charge of the money. And not only people around the world, but also American celebrities donate a lot of larger money to rebuild Haiti. And hundreds of homes were destroyed after the earthquake. And if you can believe, the people are still living under tents. That's unacceptable. And not only they held the money, they kept the money, but Haiti had enough resources for them to be very comfortable. Haiti have oil, more oil than Venezuela. Nobody's talking about. Haiti have gold. We have one of the largest gold mines in the Caribbean. So, and they let the world, nobody's saying anything about our goals. Yeah. And who do you think is in charge of our goal right now? The contract. Yeah. Tony Radom, Hillary Clinton's brother.
Wow.
He's got a 26-year contract. And then also Haiti used to produce, we used to produce our own rice. We didn't have to buy rice overseas. Bill Clinton destroyed our rice so his brother can sell the rice from Arkansas.
Yeah, wow.
So they're doing a lot of things. Right now, if there's a millionaire or a billionaire who wants to do business in Haiti, they cannot do anything unless they check with the Clintons. The Clintons are the one who's running Haiti.
Yeah, wow.
And we are living in the 21st century. We are the first black people who liberate ourselves from the French rule. We fought three empires, the British, the Spanish, the French. So it's unacceptable for us to be occupied right now. They dropping disease in Haiti. They stealing our money. They stealing our resources. So we are out here. We are outraged for the crimes of the Clintons. Hillary Clinton.
Americans continue to hold the view, according to major polls, that Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton is untrustworthy. Most Haitians, whether in the United States, or Haiti, or the Haitian diaspora, would say that that characterization is an understatement. For Hillary and husband Bill have done Haiti grievous wrongs, they'd say, and have done grievous wrongs in Haiti. Hillary's all-out campaign to win the U.S. presidency has hit some major bumps, almost all of them pointing to her and Bill's alleged untrustworthiness and unethical conduct and practices. At the center of it all is the recurring question, where and how did this once cash-strapped couple get their money? We are joined today by journalist, author, and academician Dadi Sherry, who has written extensively on developments in Haiti, and is here to explain that Haiti has been and continues to be a key element in the Clintons' personal and political ambitions. By way of introduction, Dadi Sherry is a Haitian-born journalist, poet, playwright, and biology professor. Now, how do you line all of those things up? Her broad interests encompass science, culture, and human rights. She writes extensively about Haiti and world issues such as climate change and social justice. Her many contributions to Haitian news include the first story that described Haiti's mineral wealth for a popular regular audience, the initial proposal that Haiti's cholera had been imported by the United Nations, and a more recent report that Haiti had been contaminated not once, but twice by the UN with different cholera strains. Dadi Sherry has closely followed the deeds of Bill and Hillary Clinton in Haiti, especially since the devastating January 12, 2010 earthquake. Much of this is described in her very, very well-received book, We Have Dared to Be Free, Haiti's Struggle Against Occupation, which our dear friend, journalist Kim Ives, has described as the definitive account of the period of the rise and fall of President Michel Martelly, roughly 2010 to 2015. Dadi Sherry is co-editor-in-chief of the news site newsjunkiepost.com and editor of Dadi Sherry, DadiSherry.org, where she regularly publishes her articles. And welcome, Dottie. I'm not going to describe or discuss how you combine all these different things that you do, which seem to be so scattered, so unrelated, but you're so good at it all. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Utris. It's a pleasure to be back on Lead Stories.
Thank you. Now, you say in an article that we are going to use as our continuing reference point for today's program, we have to get used to the idea that the rise of the Clintons was predicated in a way on the fall of Haiti, the recent fall of Haiti, specifically having to do with the awesome and tragic impact of the earthquake.
Oh, exactly. It is absolutely connected. You know, when people were on their back immediately after the earthquake, Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, and Bill Clinton was UN Special Envoy to Haiti. And on February 1, the earthquake happened on January 12, 2010. On February 1, the U.S. ambassador to Haiti was writing a statement that the gold rush is on. This is how they were describing the earthquake, while Bill and Hillary Clinton were putting on their most sincere faces and calling for donations because this was the island where they spent their honeymoon and how much they love Haiti and so on and so on. Send as much as you can, as little as you can. And meanwhile, all this is going on, they're celebrating. They're celebrating the earthquake.
And we're saying the gold rush is on.
The gold rush is on. That was the situation paper. That was a section of a situation paper from Kenneth Merton, who was the U.S. ambassador to Haiti at the time. The gold rush is on. Okay. And they were celebrating. Now, within less than a month, Clinton forced Haiti to declare a state of emergency. And the purpose of this state of emergency was effectively to make him the executive running the country. And he would be then in charge of this organization called IHRC, incredibly enough, which basically, and part of the name of this organization has got Hillary Clinton's initials. And I don't think that this is actually coincidental, because this thing was called Commission Intérimaire pour la Reconstruction d'Haïti. And if you translate it straight from the French, it's Interim Commission for the Reconstruction of Haiti. But instead, to sort of connive to have it have the HRC in it, they called it Interim Haiti Recovery Commission, which is kind of nonsensical because Interim Haiti doesn't make sense. And why do you translate reconstruction as recovery, for example? Unless you want to suggest that you're scooping up something, it was actually a big joke on Haiti that they were forming this. But January 10th is the earthquake. Okay, by March 8th, they had the House in Haiti voting on the state of emergency that would allow this IHRC to run Haiti for a period of 18 months. And the vote was really contentious. A lot of the MPs walked out. But in the end, since the president's party controlled the House and Clinton was putting pressure directly on the president, who was President Prévost at the time, they yielded and they voted yes. So it was 43 yes, 6 no, 8 abstaining. So that was the House. But the Senate was going to be much more difficult. So on April 8th, the Senate voted no and basically tried to kill it. Prévost put pressure on the Senate and said, no, you must not miss the opportunity. And it is not clear what kind of pressures were being put on Haiti. I suspect there were threats of invasion. There were probably all sorts of threats, the declaration that the country was a failed state and so on and so forth. But on April 13th, the Senate, there was a second Senate vote. Instead of voting no, a bunch of senators just walked out. There were 26 senators and 10 walked out. And they needed 16 for a quorum. Okay? So actually 25 senators, 10 walked out. They needed 16 for a quorum. Okay. So April 14, Michelle Obama pays a visit to Haiti. And you see her hanging out with little elementary school children and so on. It's not clear what went on behind the scenes. But at the end of the visit, she makes a statement, little by little, the bird makes its nest, which is a Haitian proverb. And the following day, there was an evening session that went well into the night, and there was the third Senate vote, where you had 13 yes, one no, two abstaining, and nine who just stayed home and would not participate. Of the 13 yes, 12 were from the president's party. And this is how this thing came about. So this happened 15th of April. By the 21st of April, the IHRC was inaugurated. And
just hold it there for one second. What you've just told us, essentially, is that the Clintons, through their own machinations, took over the government of Haiti and set exactly. themselves up as the de facto presidents of Haiti running the show.
Absolutely.
Michelle Obama, being an African-American woman, the wife of the first African-American president, is sent down to Haiti or comes down to Haiti and does a lot of PR to soften things up a bit, but in any event, to persuade the expected outcome, which is approval, one way or the other, of the entire Haitian government to basically have the government yield its authority over and hand it over to Bill and Hillary Clinton.
That is correct. The Senate, people in the Senate called it a coup d'etat d'urgence, an emergency coup d'etat, because that is what it was. It was a coup d'etat. Clinton had basically taken over the government. And in fact, at the end of all this, the parliament, the Senate and the House were supposed to dissolve themselves and let Clinton run everything. But actually they didn't. They just let him take over the executive branch. And Haitians didn't take this lying down. What happened afterwards was that the senators and MPs went back to their homes and organized and marched on the streets along with their people. They were out there. It would be like the senators in the United States getting out and marching with people because the government had done something they objected to. This is what was happening in Haiti at the time. People called it a coup. And the whole time, the mainstream press stood down. They didn't report peep about it. Nothing. Nothing. In fact, when I wrote about it, I started my article with things have not cooled down in Haiti. They're just starting to simmer. Because there was no news about Haiti except the occasional thing about orphans and so on while Clinton was doing all this. Only the Haitian news was reporting this, and it was not filtering out to the English language media. But anyway, so this thing became established for 18 months, and Bill Clinton was called its chair. But in effect, it made him the dictator of Haiti. And it became, basically what they did, what Bill and Hillary Clinton did, was set up their dream government, which is a dictatorship. And I want people to think about this when they think about climate change disasters that might happen in future years, because if Hillary Clinton wins the presidency over the next 8 years, we can be pretty sure there's going to be floods, there's going to be major hurricanes and so on. And the kinds of things that might happen that are similar to what they have done in Haiti. Okay, and the government that they set up is a government that's based on money, and I'll get into this. And it's a government that has created all sorts of corruption, all sorts of corrupt connections for them. The IHRC, okay, It has had two parts. One part that was the foreign donors, and then one part that was Haitian. So now you have the Clintons. They're not collecting $10-$15 from millions of Americans anymore. What they have done now is basically they've put themselves in front of all the aid money that could possibly come into Haiti. So you have this 14 foreign donors, and those include the United States, which is basically the U.S. State Department, particularly through the USAID. You have the EU, France, Canada, Brazil, Venezuela, the Inter-American Development Bank, the United Nations, the Organization of American States, the World Bank, CARICOM, a group representing the NGOs, a group representing the diaspora, and a group representing the donors. So you had 14 people representing each one of these, and Clinton was heading this. On the other side, you had seven Haitians, and the nominal chair of that part was Jean-Max Bellerive, who had basically been pushed on Préval as the prime minister of Haiti only a few months before that. And then you had René Préval, the Haitian president, who really got only a symbolic veto. So in a way, he was removed as part of the coup.
President, but had no real authority over governing his own country. Because exactly. The Clintons were in town, and they've taken over. And as you said earlier, the gold rush is on.
The gold rush is on. And they had so they had one person each to represent the House, the Senate, the judiciary, local business, and the unions. And each of these seven individuals had to be approved by the group of donors. So this is how this thing was. And when I was writing about this in real time, as it was happening, I called it pay-to-play. I actually coined the term pay-to-play, which is not very often used by the Trump people. But when I called it that, what I meant was an unelected government where participation is based on money invested. And the reason for this is because one of the conditions for being in this group, on the Clinton side, was to commit to donate $100 million over 2 years. Okay? And Venezuela wanted to be in there just to see what was going on. And Venezuela argued, hey, we have forgiven $200 million worth of debt to Haiti, and we think we should sit on this. And so they also added this condition that, well, you could donate $100 million or you could forgive $200 million worth of debt. So that's how Venezuela got on. But basically, it was a group of people who were in this to get a return. It was run basically like a corporation. And the return was going to be privatizations, sweatshops, and land grabs. And it meant actually just ignoring the Haitian Constitution, which, for example, said that mines, rivers, and coasts are a common. And they're not supposed to be sold. They belong to the state. And what these people did, they decided, well, they belong to the state, and therefore the state can sell it. And so they gave themselves the right to grant titles, and they had final approval over all major reconstruction contracts in Haiti. And this was supposed to go on for 18 months. Okay. So this group led by the Clintons, okay, 14 people each giving $100 million, you can calculate that they have to put down at least $1.4 billion, but in fact the money was much more than that. They collected about $5.3 billion over 2 years and about $9.9 billion over 3 years, so about $10 billion over 3 years. And this money has basically disappeared. Okay. In 2010, Bill Clinton said he got only about 10% of the money. But even if he got only 10% of the money, a lot of that money would still have disappeared. It cannot account for what he has done in Haiti, which is basically nothing. Okay.
Here, I'm going back to the term that you referred to earlier about the coup d'urgence, the emergency coup.
Mm-hmm.
You have a country. It's a duly constituted country, democratically elected government. You have an awful tragedy, this huge earthquake, and the consequences of it are dire. In the meantime, all of this is extremely attractive to people outside of the country. And those people in particular are Hillary and Bill Clinton. They see in tragedy, in this misery, an opportunity to make a ton of money. And because international aid will come pouring in, and in fact did. But there has to be a mechanism, and they can't trust the Haitians because their intent is to get it. So they don't want this decision-making authority to rest with the Haitian government. So they install themselves essentially as an interim government and organized it the way they wanted to, so as to protect primarily and first their interests. And the interests, you know, have to do with money. Money starts coming in by the billions of dollars to reconstruct. I remember Bill Clinton talking about he's going to be building bigger and better, and when they're finished with this project, everything would be pretty much back in order. People will no longer be living in tents as they continue to now, and buildings will be fixed and so forth because the aid was there. But you're saying when they declared in an internal memo the gold rush is on, they weren't kidding. They saw an extraordinary opportunity here to merchandise misery for their own profits.
Yeah, in fact, in that memo, the gold rush is on, they elaborate that they have this or that American business talking to the Haitian president, and they are going to have to allow, you know, U.S. business to come and do the reconstruction. But in fact, the business came and they got money, but they didn't reconstruct much of anything. It was really a huge money laundering operation where aid money was used to hand out favors to various businesses, mostly based in the Washington, Maryland area. This is what really happened in Haiti after the earthquake. It is not pretty. You know, it is really just seeing somebody on their backs and then collecting money and benefiting from their misfortune. It is disgraceful.
And I imagine that in that environment of such great urgency and such pervasive misery caused by this earthquake, people are not, they don't have any spare energy to take this on as a political project. They're busy trying to get from Monday to Tuesday and from Tuesday to Wednesday. So they're not paying attention to these things, and or they are believing the hype that, you know, Bill and Hillary Clinton are here to help. So there is no need to be suspicious of their motives, in other words. And therefore, there's no organized resistance yet to Bill and Hillary Clinton.
No, there were protests. There were some protests organized by the people from the Haitian parliament. But yes, things were in complete disarray. I mean, the House and the Senate had actually lost members in the earthquake. Everybody was mourning. I mean, the devastation was huge. Everybody lost family in that earthquake. And then I realized not too long after you had the cholera epidemic. You see, and so it was completely overwhelming in Haiti to try and deal with this and to try to take people to court or demand accountability and so on. But you know, so you had $9.9 billion, and by July 2011, so they had 18 months to take advantage of the state of emergency and rebuild Haiti and so on. By July 2011, you had $3.2 billion of projects that were approved by Haiti's Ministry of Public Works, Transportation, and Communication. So the ministries refused to dissolve themselves. The parliament refused to dissolve itself. And Clinton had to deal with it after all. So you had $3.2 billion of projects approved. And you had 0.084 billion, about 2.6% were completed. Okay, and this thing, this is in July 2011 now, it's coming close to its 18 months, which is supposed to be October 2011. So in August 2011, there was an actual meeting of the Ministry of Public Works, Transport, and Communication with the Senate Public Works Committee. And in this meeting, the Senator William Gentil, who was the chair of the Senate Public Works Committee, actually called the IHRC a fraud and said that this is an organization that takes credit for projects from the EU and IDB that had predated the formation of the IHRC. And it was also an organization that was taking credit for the projects of several other ministries. And it became a complete disgrace. Everywhere, Haitians were saying, this thing is a huge fraud. It's not doing anything. We don't know where the money went. It's collected $10 billion, and we don't know where any of it went. Okay? In 3 years, and he kept collecting money. So by October 2011, it was basically suspended. People were coming out and saying, okay, this is completely dysfunctional. We want it suspended. Not only that, but it was incredibly arrogant. Haitian ministers and elected Haitian officials couldn't attend the meetings of this organization because they were told they were not on the list. And mind you, when it inaugurated itself, it also claimed that it was eventually going to become a permanent part of the Haitian government, eventually become an agency for the development of Haiti.
A permanent part? Okay.
A permanent part, yeah. It was going to become an agency for the development of Haiti. It was going to be part of the Haitian government permanently. And there they were, you know, not letting Haitians participate, not letting Haitians even listen to their discussions, how the money was being spent, because they were not on the list. This is an unelected group of people. Telling Haitians they have no right to know what's being done with their country. This was completely, obviously, Clinton never had Haitians. This was, you know, he hasn't dealt with Haitians long enough. This was completely unacceptable. So this thing was, it was not renewed. It just died this quiet death. But people, we still haven't got any accounts of where the money went. And actually, a couple of lawyers took them to court. And the court actually, this now was in 2014, and the court actually decided that they wanted an audit from Bill Clinton about the IHRC. And instead of providing the court with an audit, so this was a Haitian court, he said that he was a diplomat. He was he had immunity because he was UN special envoy to Haiti. And so he didn't have to do that.
Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton is Secretary of State at this time.
That's right. Hillary Clinton is Secretary of State.
Okay. So how does it... I'm trying to put these dots together here. You have a person who is appointed Secretary of State, the highest diplomatic post in the United States, involved in this thing that they concocted called the Interim Haiti Recovery Commission, conveniently having the initials IHRC, as in I, Hillary Rodham Clinton, as the, your piece is titled. I like that. But she is an elected official. You have the wife of the sitting president, Hillary's boss. This is Barack Obama's wife, Michelle, apparently involved in something that she should not have been involved in, which is to go down to Haiti and to persuade, in presumably in behalf of the Clintons, that this group, this commission be formed so as to begin the process of, let's say, visiting the gold mines of Haiti. You know, the gold rush is on. She comes in to play, being used, I imagine, or agreeing to be used, to placate the natural and automatic fears of the Haitian government that, the Clintons essentially have successfully pulled off a coup. They have a parallel government. And they are not accountable to us, and we can't have input in what they're doing. We don't know what's going on there. Bill Clinton, the former president, is hiding behind his status as a diplomat, but using this misery from the earthquake to be, and he's now an on-point guy, he's an on-site guy, he's a hands-on guy. This is the image he's portraying, that the Clintons are taking a very active role in helping Haiti recover from this devastating earthquake, when in fact it suited their purposes to be on-site to receive money, because it looked authentic. He could conduct tours and show people all the great things that were happening, which the government later said, that's stuff we were doing, not what he's doing. That's stuff that we started doing before he even got here, before the earthquake. And in the meantime, the till is growing fatter and fatter with donations from all over the world. But nobody knows where this $10 billion went. There has been no audit.
Yeah, no audit. No audit. So they spent $84 million by July 2011, and then $229 million, okay, by October 2012. And so the greater part of this was to build this huge sweatshop complex in an area called Caracol. Now, Caracol, so they kicked out about 1,000 people. So 1,000 people, they just planted their seeds. This is an area where farmers grow beans. And it's also kind of it's a coastal area where people fish. Okay. So these folks have just planted their beans, and bulldozers come and start bulldozing their homes. They had no idea this was coming. Okay. And this place, they start building this huge sweatshop complex. They call it a free trade zone, Caracol free trade zone. Now, this area, especially the coast, the bay, was slated to become a World Heritage Site and Park. It had this incredible barrier reef. It had mangroves. It was visited by many tens of thousands of migratory birds every year. In addition to that, it was an area of great archaeological wealth. There's a lot of ruins there that are actually from the time of Columbus. There's Puerto Real, which is the lost city of Columbus, is there. There's La Navidad Fort, which is also there. And the plan was basically to bring 330,000 to 300,000 people to work in the sweatshops in this area, which basically would become a slum. It would become a huge slum, and the whole thing would be destroyed. And in addition to that, textiles are some of the most polluting, is one of the most polluting businesses in the world, the dyes that are used for textiles. This thing would use thousands of cubic meters of water every day, pollute thousands, about 6,000 cubic meters of water every day. And on top of that, you have electricity that's produced from oil. You would get toxic waste being dumped into the river. It straddled two rivers, so it would be dumped into the rivers, and that ran out into the bay. So this is the great favor that Hillary Clinton, so she went there to inaugurate on October 22nd, 2012. That's the great achievement of the Clintons with regard to the earthquake in Haiti. This is actually in northern Haiti, nowhere near the earthquake. The earthquake happened near Port-au-Prince and Léogâne, which is in southern Haiti. What it's near is mining. It's near this chain of mountains that is full of gold. And I think the reason why they built this complex there was not so much to generate jobs for Haitians like they claim they did, but to justify the infrastructure for gold mining. One of the first things they tried to do was to dredge part of the bay so that big ships could come in to create a big port there. But I wrote about this, other people wrote about this, and there was enough objection to it that they did not succeed in doing it. You see, they wanted airports and seaports, presumably to carry around textiles that people had produced in these shops for Walmart and The Gap and Levi's and so on. But in fact, these things were supposed to also serve mining. And as it came out later, Hillary Clinton's brother is on the board of one of the mining companies that tried to get concession from Haiti. And the way this happened was actually during Christmas 2013. There was a press release from a couple mining companies saying that Haiti had granted them these mining concessions. And, of course, everybody was busy, you know, with the holidays, and nobody was reporting on this. And I got hold of this, and I immediately just blasted it out, made it known. And it turned out that it was just the mining company executives who had got together with a Haitian minister and were trying to just slip these mining concessions under the table. And so when the Haitian Senate came back into session, they invalidated those mining concessions. So this is a problem that is still going on, and this is part of the reason now that Haitian elections have become so important. All of this is on hold. They cannot make any deals with Haitians about mining unless there is actually a representative government. So this is what's going on with Haiti now. But this Caracol Industrial Park was a sham. It was absolutely of no great value. In fact, it was very destructive to Haiti. But this is what they built. I calculated from the money that they supposedly spent and the money they received that they spent maybe about 3% of the money that they received. So what happened to the other 97%? Okay, so I think that the other 97%, now this is speculation, is probably went to some offshore account in the Bahamas, the Cayman Islands, or might have gone to Switzerland and sat there waiting for Hillary's election. I think this is probably what is now financing Hillary's election. And I find it really ironic that American, African Americans would be some of the top supporters of Bill and Hillary Clinton in light of the fact of what they have done in Haiti. That, you know, these are not the actions of people who love Haiti, who love black people. That is, in Haiti, we know that. You know, this is, where is their money coming from? Okay. Now, there's all sorts of money missing from Hillary's campaign. By all accounts, this presidential campaign is costing about $5 to $10 billion. But this, I cannot find any accounting of the expenses that add up to this. Okay, so Trump is supposed to have collected $129 million, and Hillary Clinton is supposed to have collected $436 million as of August 22nd. Okay, and just to give a sense of what is going on. Okay, you know, we think of top donors like Soros and so on as having given a whole lot of money to these people. If you add up the top six donors for each of these candidates, their donations add up to only 10% of what they claim that they raise for the elections. And what they claim they raise for the elections is actually 10% of what was supposed to have been spent. And so there was a whole lot of money, a lot of money missing here. And you have Hillary, who's spending and spending and spending. She spent $100 million on TV ads as of August. And then for September and October, she planned to spend about $80 million more on TV ads. Okay? She's traveling on a private plane all the time. She's got personnel. She's got about 800 people working for her campaign, including what I suspect are medical specialists. So how is all this being paid? I don't think it adds up to $436 million. You know, she flew, she leased an airplane. Okay, that's for $2.1 million for about 6 months. And now she's flying in an airplane, a Boeing 737-86J, that sits more than 40. Okay, and the press is really not doing its job. It's not clear whether this is leased or whether she has actually purchased this. But it's got her logo on it. It's got the H with the arrow on the tail. And you know, the press is just, you know, they're just happy that they cannot travel with Hillary and so on. Where is all this money coming from? How are all these PR people getting paid? You know,
so I also want to ask you then, in light of all of this, and with the passage of time where people have had an opportunity, at least, to pursue some of these answers in Haiti, is there anything that is brewing that is aimed at getting answers to these very questions? What happened to $10 billion that came in? Oh, by the way, I think it was important also to mention that the initial head of this organization, not this particular organization, the Caribbean nations essentially had voted for P.J. Patterson, the former Prime Minister of Jamaica, to kind of head up this effort. And Bill Clinton had him just taken out and supplanted. And he instead came in there. I've asked Prime Minister, former Prime Minister Patterson, but I haven't gotten an answer about doing an interview about this very subject. But is there any movement in Haiti to get answers to this question, considering that you have so much money involved, so little done, and we have some strategic moves being made, the Caracol Center that you mentioned, the gold mine, and the licensing ending up in the hands of Hillary Rodham Clinton's brother, Tony Rodham. You have too many things left unsolved and unanswered. Is there any movement in Haiti to get answers? And if not within Haiti, but on the world stage?
Well, we'll see what the next government in Haiti does. Right now, Haiti is having elections, and presumably these elections this time are being paid or being financed by Haitians. There are some things about them that are still troubling, like, for example, some of the observers are really being paid by France and so on. But there are actually real Haitian candidates, including the guy, Jude Celestin, that Hillary Clinton went to Haiti specifically to make sure did not make it to the second round in 2011. And so you have Maryse Narcisse, who's Lavalas, who's running, along with Aristide, who's campaigning with her. You have Jude Celestin, you have Moïse Jean-Charles, who was one of the senators who really hit the road after the IHRC was formed and went out protesting with people. And then, of course, you have Jovenel Moïse, who's still Martelly guy and probably the guy who's in there for the U.S. But very likely this Clinton hold on Haiti is going to be removed. And then I think that the government is going to have to demand some of these funds to do a real reconstruction. Haiti has really been running on oil that Venezuela has given to Haiti at very, very low interest. That is really all that the country has been running on. The aid money, Haitians never really saw the aid money. Maybe 1%, you know, maximum. The devastation, the goodwill that poured toward Haiti after the earthquake, we never received. It just went from one group of people's pockets to another's. And so, yes, there's going to have to be, I think, some legal actions to try and recover some of this money. And we saw the beginning of that with this action filed by Nouton, Louis Saint-Just, and André Michel in Haiti's Superior Court of Auditors and Administrative Disputes. And Clinton is really in contempt of court because he basically just said, okay, I have immunity because I work for the United Nations at the time, and therefore, you know, I don't have to tell you anything. But what these guys have come back and said, well, we want a clarification from the United Nations. When you were the head of the IHRC, were you also UN Special Envoy at the time? And how did that work? And if you were not UN Special Envoy at the time, as the IHRC head, you are actually a Haitian civil servant subject to Haitian laws. And so it will be very interesting to see how that develops.
But it's also interesting, I think, to pursue another dimension of this, which is what protections did the Clintons get from the Obama administration? Clearly, they knew what was going on. I mean, when Michelle Obama ends up in Haiti to try and soften things so that the Clintons could get their way, it means that Barack Obama knew what was going on down there and did nothing about it, and is part of this awful situation, this scheme. And we have to now start asking questions, which I had raised before. What did Obama know, and when did he know it, about a whole bunch of things involving the Clintons? He's been getting off on, you know, being out of the spotlight. But I think this is a legitimate question. The president of the United States, who I maintain has been a creature, a creation of the Clinton Chicago machine, and remains loyal to them, and his entire administration has been providing cover for them. But we're out of time today, Dadi. I so appreciate you bringing this to our attention. And, of course, we will continue the conversation because there's so much more to know about the Clintons in Haiti and the connection between misery in Haiti and the incredible wealth of the Clintons. And we need to expose that. Thanks so much for being with us today. What's next on your agenda in terms of stories?
I'm gonna stay right on the tail of the Clinton crime family.
Okay, the Clinton crime family. I've never heard that expression before.
It's not mine. It's actually from Gilbert Mercier of New Jersey Post.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today. Great stuff. I want to recommend people reading this article. How could they do that?
Please go to newsjockeypost.com or daddycherie, daddycherie.org.
It's titled "I, Hillary Rodham Clinton," a play on the words IHRC, this supposed recovery commission set up with a $10 billion endowment, apparently, that just ceases to exist. Nobody knows where it went. Thanks again for being with us today.
Thank you, Yotris. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. And here is where we end today's program. Let them continue their little carnival sideshow. We have serious business to do to discuss and expose the relationship of the Clintons to suffering people all over the world. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Infectious Myth with David Crow. You could reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. Let me know what you think of this program. A pleasure and a great privilege to be in your company. Bye-bye. Qui l'a vini ou mon corps.